This morning's Hebrew Bible reading is an alternative text from the book of Psalms 107, verses 23 through 32. Some of you set sail in big ships. You put to sea to do business in faraway ports. Out at sea, you saw God in action, saw God's breathtaking ways with the ocean. With a word, God called up the wind, an ocean storm, towering waves. You shot high in the sky, then the bottom dropped out. Your hearts were stuck in your throats. You were spun like a top, you reeled like a drunk, and you didn't know which end was up. Then you called out to God in your desperate condition. God got you out in the nick of time. God quieted the wind down to a whisper, put a muzzle on all the big waves. And you were so glad when the storm died down and God led you safely back to harbor. So thank the Lord for God's marvelous love, for God's miracle mercy to the children whom God loves. Lift high your praises when the people assemble. Shout hallelujah when the elders meet. Here ends the first scripture lesson.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And the context here is that the feeding of the 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes has just taken place. As soon as the meal was finished, Jesus insisted that the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the people. With the crowd dispersed, Jesus climbed the mountain so he could be by himself and pray. He stayed there alone late into the night. Meanwhile, the boat was far out to sea when the wind came up and they were battered by the waves. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water, and they were scared to death. "A ghost," they said, crying out in terror. But Jesus was quick to comfort them. "Courage, it's me. Don't be afraid." Peter, suddenly bold, said, "Master, if it's really you, call me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Go ahead." So jumping out of the boat, Peter walked on the water to Jesus, but when he looked down at the waves churning at his feet, he lost his nerve and started to sink. He cried, "Master, save me!" Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down and grabbed Peter's hand, and then he said, "Faint heart, what got into you?" The two of them climbed into the boat, and the wind died down. The disciples in the boat, having watched the whole thing, worshiped Jesus, saying, "Well, this is it. You are God's son for sure." Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So in this morning's gospel passage, after sending the crowds home and putting the disciples in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus heads off to find some time by himself to pray. And several hours later, either due to practicality or perhaps a keen sense of the dramatic, Jesus decides to catch up with the disciples by walking out to meet the boat as it crosses the middle of the lake. Maybe it's a little joyriding. I don't know. Maybe Jesus liked to flex those muscles sometimes. The disciples see someone coming toward them on water, and like very normal people, they freak out. They're sure it's a ghost, because really, who else would be literally walking on the surface of a lake? Well, maybe Jesus, their teacher and friend who has been healing people before their eyes and performing miracles left, right, and center, including just before this verse, feeding thousands of people with five loaves and two fish. But they're convinced it's a ghost. Now, the disciples' misidentification seems odd, especially because we have the advantage of knowing who it is. But how often have we been in a situation where recognizing Jesus' presence with us could have led to healing, or hope, or comfort? Yet because the way that he showed up seemed scary or incomprehensible, we couldn't see him for who he was. It makes me think of the main character in Frederick Backman's book, A Man Called Uwe, which I've preached on several years ago, and which has just been released as an Americanized movie version starring Tom Hanks. Now, I've been told that the Swedish movie version is better, but I do have it on good word from a Park Avenue member's movie review that you will still laugh and cry at the Tom Hanks version, if you care to see it. So you might recall that in A Man Called Uwe, that salvation for the depressed, curmudgeonly Uwe shows up in the guise of new neighbors who, in addition to inconveniently interrupting his plans for ending his life, run over Uwe's mailbox, trample his flower bed, and somehow persuade him to adopt a stray cat whom he would just as soon leave to die in a snowbank. Uwe cannot at first recognize these new neighbors as anything but tiresome objects of disdain. Yet, without giving too much away, because I highly recommend you read the book, they become the way through which meaning and love make their way back into Uwe's scarred heart. We'll never know, of course, if the disciples would have taken the length of a book or a movie to recognize Jesus on their own, because he takes pity on them and tells them straight out that it's him. But the drama does not stop there, because Peter, ever eager, leap first, look later, Peter, takes Jesus at his word and decides he will step out on faith and walk on water too. Because after all, if Jesus can do it, he can surely help Peter do it. But Peter is only a few steps in when he looks down, realizes that what he is doing is physically impossible and quite possibly drowning-inducing, and he panics. This time, Peter's reaction is a little more understandable. We've all been in a situation, right, where we have said yes to something, trusting ourselves and trusting God to get us through it, and then when things get hard or scary, we have second thoughts. Raise your hand. Have you ever been there? Okay. Yeah. Maybe it was realizing a long-held dream, like getting a degree or starting a business. Maybe it was going to therapy. Maybe it was a yes that you never wanted to say, like the yes of facing a loved one's terminal diagnosis with courage and grace, the best you could. One person in our Bible study on Wednesday night deadpanned that parenting has fallen squarely into that, yes, sounds good, wait, what have I gotten myself into category? Many, many, many times. To be clear, I'm not talking about yeses we were guilted into, or a moment when we weren't honest with ourselves about taking on too much, but those times when we've encountered a challenge, chosen one or not, and decided to face it in the way that we know will be most life-giving to us. But then, as the scripture says, we've lost our nerve when it turned out to be, well, a challenge. We've all been there, so what do we do as people of faith? Now, not all of us are leap before we lookers like Peter is, but all of us can follow his lead when he suddenly discovers the solid surface beneath his feet has turned into roiling chaos. Instead of trying to scramble his way back to safety, instead of trying to muscle through or giving up altogether, Peter turns to Jesus and says, "Lord, save me." We can all do that, right? And let's see how Jesus responds to him. Now, usually in the New Revised Standard Version of the text that we read, Jesus says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Incidentally, it's pretty close to the same words he says to the disciples the first time that they get into trouble on a boat and they're afraid that they will drown in a storm. He says, "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" It sounds to our ears like a condemnation, like the disciples, like we have failed a test. Why couldn't we trust more, believe more, have more faith to make it through? Jesus is right there. Why couldn't we do a better job? Whenever Jesus sounds a little bit harsh to my ears, especially when he's talking to someone with whom he has an intimate friendship, like Peter, I find it useful to imagine Jesus speaking with a smile on his face and a gently teasing tone. "Ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" becomes, "Faint heart, what got into you?" It's It's one of the reasons that I so value Eugene Peterson's The Message translation from which we read this morning. It's the words a deeply dedicated pastor chose to communicate to his people about the Jesus with whom he had a lifelong friendship. And so his translation consistently leaves room for the compassion and the humor of the Gospels to shine through. And then a stern rebuke becomes a loving reminder. Remember, dear heart, when I said that you didn't need to be afraid? I was right here. You don't need to worry. In her book, The Body Is Not an Apology, Sonia Renee Taylor tells the story of meeting Italian free diving champion Davide Carrera at a blue hole. It's a 663-foot sheer ocean drop-off. Like, you walk 2 feet from the beach and then nothing. It's a geological formation that's quite rare. And so she meets him at this blue hole in the Bahamas. And Sonia explains, free diving entails using a cable to descend into extreme ocean depths without the use of breathing equipment. Some of us are already starting to sweat a little bit, I think. Now, Davide, she says, holds his country's record with a 111-meter dive. Yes, that is the equivalent of diving off a 35-story building. And when Sonia asks Davide about his dives, he says, I must learn how to listen to my body. I must listen or I will die. In the water, I must learn the difference between fear and danger. Now, Sonia continues, he did not know it, but Davide was describing the journey of radical self-love that she's been writing about. And part of that journey, she writes, is learning the distinction between fear and danger. It is to look directly at the source of the fear and assess if we are truly in peril or if we are simply afraid of the unknown. Discerning that difference, whether we are truly about to drown or whether it is our fear causing us to flail, is part of our faith journey. And as Davide says about that journey, the dive is a spiritual thing. As we step out of more boats in our lives, and as we realize, often in retrospect, that Jesus was there to hold us up, we get a little better at that discernment. We get a little better at seeing our fear without succumbing to it. We get a little better at looking down at the roiling waves, but then looking back up to the one who is walking out to meet us. And yet, even if after getting a little better at this, and even after a life of learning this or opportunities to learn this, if we still panic, no matter how well we should know that Jesus is right there, Jesus never shames us. Did you notice how Jesus reacted when Peter shouted, Lord, save me? The scripture says, Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down and grabbed Peter's hand. Jesus didn't hesitate. With God, friends, we are not expected to ace some test of faith before help arrives. We are not expected to face our fears or even our desires and dreams, which can sometimes be just as scary. We're not expected to face them without doubts, misgivings, or even some good old-fashioned panic. And we're not expected to face them alone, as Uwe tried to do. What we are expected to do is to be human and to call on Jesus when it all becomes too much. To reach out for help even when we can't yet see how Jesus will show up. To try to trust a little more with each new challenge. To try to learn to recognize our fear without it freezing us. Because the one who walks on water will be right there, waiting to meet us in the middle of our crises, waiting to comfort us and to hearten us without hesitation, reminding us that fear is human, and so is letting go of it when we once again can feel the grasp of the outstretched hand of the divine. Amen. Friends, as you go out into this world and into your week, whether you are jumping out of boats with glee and enthusiasm, or very hesitantly, one leg at a time, you'd rather stay inside where it seems a lot safer. Know that Jesus is there waiting to meet you as you walk out in faith. And when that moment comes, when you look down and you start to panic, because it probably will, remember what to cry out. Jesus, I need help. Come save me. And look around and see where Jesus shows up. Because he will. Go in peace.